Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Let's go to the very first psalm, the very first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And now, if you would, let's go down to the very last, not the last verse, but a little further down in this psalm, because it's a wonderful psalm. It said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drieth away. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like this. Everything you do will prosper, he said. And that's what God wants to do in our life. Amen? You may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, I am destined to prosper. You want to say that with me? I am destined to prosper. You know, I heard a person say 25 years ago, and it was a provocative statement that affected me greatly, that whatever is preached in the American Christian pulpit is what happens. And I think that's true. And that's the reason why we have inherited the whirlwind of problems we have in America today, because less and less of the Bible is being preached. Less and less of the principles of God is being preached, and more of people's ideas. And so consequently, we don't see the manifestation of God's blessing in America like God wants us to see it. I believe God is a good God all the time. And so when you talk about Christianity in America, what basically is perceived is that people are saved. It's a message of salvation to the cross, as he said and as Pastor said, and not beyond that, not even the benefits of the cross, just to the cross, and you're stranded there. Somebody said, I'll cling to the old rugged cross. Not a good idea. You need, even Jesus didn't stay on the cross, nor should we. But modern Christianity is stalled at the cross. That's how far we preach, and so that's what we see, is people accepting the gospel, the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the cross, and nothing much further than that. And when you begin to talk about the blessings of God, people are awe-stricken that you believe that, because we have been taught from pulpit after pulpit, from denomination to denomination, it is our business to suffer and to pay the price. When the truth is, Christ suffered and Christ paid the price. And we are to be enjoying the benefits of what Jesus Christ did. And so one of those things is to prosper. And when we talk about prosper, it means every area of your life. If you're sick, you're not prospering in health. If you are depressed, you're not prospering in spirit. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, you're not prospering in spirituality. If you're broke, you're not prospering financially. And so when you see the word prosper, don't automatically get dollar signs in your eyes. It means the whole of life, everything that involves life, we should prosper. That's the reason why the threat to the Gentiles in the New Testament is that they're alienated from the life of God is the greatest threat there is. Because in God's life, in God's living, it is a place of prosperity. Divine health, divine joy, divine peace, divine spirituality, divine blessing in every area of your life. And so God wants us to prosper. Let's talk first of all, well, before I say that, let me say this. If you don't know the will of God, it's very difficult and perhaps impossible for you to have great faith. The Bible talks about all kinds of faith. No faith, small faith, big faith, little faith. But it talks about great faith, and it talks sparingly about that. But if you don't know the will of God, it's impossible for you to have great faith, because it is knowing the will of God that gives you the channels and the perimeter in which you pray and praise. And that's what gives it the velocity. Because when you know the will of God, it narrows it down. Anything that is narrowed down becomes stronger in velocity. If you want to wash your car and you just got a regular hose, it's hard to get that dirt off. But if you can get some kind of an apparatus that will narrow that stream down, it will pressurize it and knock it off. And so it's the same thing with prayer and praise. Your praise can be like a shotgun. It can be scattered. Your prayer can be greatly scattered. But if you want it to be powerful, it has to become precision. And Jesus talked about that on numerous occasions when he talked about the singleness of eye. And James would write about it when he talked about you ask amiss. They were talking about the spray effect versus the precision. And so if you want to be blessed and you want to have great faith, you have to know the will of God. And you'll never know the will of God if you don't know the Word of God. It is the Word of God that reveals the will of God. And when the leper came to Jesus, he said this. He said, I know you can heal me if you will heal me. In other words, he said, I don't know whether it is your will to heal me or not. And Jesus had to address that. And so if you don't know something is the will of God, it is a very random chance that you are going to get a miracle or a divine intervention. You've got to be able to establish what is the will of God. And so when you take the whole of Christianity, by that I mean the great Catholic Church with all of its millions of members, the Pentecostal movement with all of its charismatic Pentecostal members, and the Baptists, there are more Baptists than people in this world. Oh, there's so much. If you take all of that and lump it together, it is the whole of Christianity. I know there's Presbyterian and Episcopalian, but if you just took the Baptist and the Catholic and those that are Pentecostal charismatic, it is the whole of Christianity. And almost without exception, in fact, the denominations all do, they teach that prosperity is not the will of God. And so that is an explanation why most Christians are no more prosperous, even though they're saved. They're no more prosperous than the world because they do not understand it to be the will of God. Why? Because we have not preached it in the American pulpit, and we certainly haven't preached it in the foreign pulpits, because what we export from America as the gospel is what they preach there. And so consequently, very few people have got a hold of this. But I want you to be understanding that it is the will of God for you to prosper. And I can tell you right now, if you would get up every morning, ma'am, when you're shaving, sir, when you're shaving, if you'll get up every morning, look in the mirror. I'm just feeling that way tonight, Tammy. Please forgive me. It's the old joke. People are so sensitive. Said all I said was a nice mustache, and now she won't speak to me. When you look in the mirror every morning, if the first thing you would say is, I am predestined to prosper, and you would make that a part of your confession every morning, it might not work the first day or the second day or the third day, but after a while, it gets in your bones. After a while, it burrows into your brain. After a while, it gets in your spirit, and you get to the place where you will not accept less. That you demand that that day spit out some kind of an additive, some kind of a blessing, something added to you that you didn't have before. And when you go to bed at night, you say, thank God, it's been a good day. Look where I started and look where I am. Praise God, praise God. And so, first of all, let's look at the three actions that will undermine God's effort to prosper us. If you're going to become a prosperous person, you've got to conclude that it is the will of God. I am convinced that God does not want me in lack. I am convinced that God does not want me stranded by the roadside because I drive a junker that only runs sometime and rolls on ball tires. That's not the will of God. God wants me to get where I want to be and where I need to be without interruption. That means I got to have a car and I got to have tires and I got to have, oh, there's just a lot of summing up in that. And God wants me to have the house. And God wants me to have what I need. God wants me to prosper physically, spiritually, and health-wise. And friend, I am in a place where I just pray for my health every day. Lay hands on myself like I'm at an Oral Roberts meeting. I am both oral and I'm also the person. I'm both of us, praise God. I just have an Oral Roberts healing meeting by myself right there in my little office somewhere, because I believe that it's the will of God for me to be in divine health until I take my last breath here and draw my first breath there. You don't have to get sick to die. You don't have to have pain to go to heaven. You don't have to have a cancer to get transmitted from here to there. God is able to bless you and prosper you in your physical body. Three actions that will undermine God's effort to prosper you. And I believe that God is making the effort. I believe that Christ dying on the cross because of Isaiah 53, by his stripes you're healed. Praise God. I believe that was God's greatest effort to prosper us. One of the things that will hinder God's effort. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you are diminishing your chances of prospering greatly in this life. What does that really mean, to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? It means that you do not take advice or counsel or instructions or embrace the ungodly, immoral, or unbelievers that do not embrace God's principles. I would not take my advice from a man that is learned with a degree from Harvard and a poem on his wall, and he is the most famous psychiatrist, psychologist you know. If he is an agnostic or an atheist, I would not listen to his advice or allow him to have input into my life, because I am very sure that it poses the possibility that it will stop and derail the prosperity of God in my life. And thank God I'm prospering more every day. I wished I had known when I was 16 years of age what I know today. But little by little, line by line, precept upon precept, God has revealed himself to me. And I was so glad to find out that God was a Baptist. The Pentecostals, it was not a Baptist. God, the Pentecostals told me that. I was so glad to find out that God was not a Catholic. The Pentecostals told me that. But then I was glad to find out God was not a Pentecostal. God told me that. He is a God of all faiths. He is a God to all people. And no matter what they can teach you, if you can find it in the Word of God, reach out and embrace it with everything that is in you. But if you realize that it is just the drippings of their religious teaching and it's foreign to God's Word, stay away from it. It will injure your chances and your opportunity to prosper. And I'm burrowed into the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm living victoriously. I'm overcoming every enemy. Every weapon that is formed against me is a dud and fizzles at my feet. Because thank God, I am predestined to prosper. That's why I am sleeping. I serve a God that never sleeps nor slumbers. And while I am sleeping, he's setting his ladder up and the angels are going up and down ministering to me. And when I get up in the morning, God's already working on my behalf. Can you give God a big praise in this house tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So number one, I will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man. Or prosperous is the man that will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Secondly, the Bible teaches us that we do not want to embrace the lifestyle of the sinner. Do not want to embrace that lifestyle. What does that mean? That means the unrepentant, the unconverted transgressor of God's word. You do not want to stand in the way of sinners, the Bible said. I don't want to embrace that lifestyle. And you've got to be very careful, because it's piped into your home. It now's on your telephone. All the time, the lifestyle of the sinners is being propagated as the positive way of living. But you have to set yourself apart. We used to be taught in the Pentecostal churches, come out and be you separate. That meant no makeup and no earrings, no jewelry, and no hair. That was what their interpretation of that was. But the real interpretation of that is you want to be set apart, because God does not bless in generalities. God doesn't just reach out and bless the crowd. There was a whole multitude of folk at that pool that day. You know how many people walked away from there carrying his bed? Just one. Just one. Will you be made whole? That is the question. And the answer usually is a resounding no by people that are rejecters of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you do not want to stand in the way of sinners, because it will endanger the prosperity of your life. Do not embrace their lifestyle. They're unrepentant, they're unconverted, and they're transgressors of God's word. Thirdly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Do not align yourself with the scornful. Those that make light, those that mock, those that make fun. We pretty much understand that. People that would laugh about Jesus' cross. People that would make fun of you for your Christianity. Most of us have got enough sense to avoid those people. But there's another part to that. People that are dismissive of the gospel. That's the most condescending thing of all. They just dismiss the gospel. It's not important, and you're a little simple because you believe that. That should not be the crowd that you run with. You need to get away from those that are scornful. I find my satisfaction in people of like faith. That's the reason why I like to come to church on Wednesday and Sunday. Praise God. Because I like to be with God's people. If it was left up to me, I'm praying before Jesus Christ comes that we can have church every night. I'd love to go to church every night. I don't have nothing else to do. I know you're busy, not me. I have nothing else to do. I wish we could just see people getting saved every night, getting filled with the Holy Ghost every night, coming out of wheelchairs every night. I really hold in my heart that that's going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank God for every blessing that happens in America and around the world. For hostages coming home, that's great. I thank you when there are peace talks made. I thank when homicide rates drop. But according to the Word of God, there's going to be such a pressure on the world that they are going to run to the rock. And thank God, I believe that we're preaching the only rock there is. There's no rock like Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. I believe there's coming a day where the church is not just full several times on Sunday, but it's standing room only on Wednesday night, because people are going to develop a hunger. The problem is we have not properly represented God. He's a good God all the time. He wants to keep you healthy. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you power. And we have not done a good job of communicating that gospel. We've done a better job of convincing people that God hoped they went to hell and then wondered why they didn't want to come around the church. I want to tell you that that is a doctrinal dogma that is devised by the devil himself. God does not want anybody to perish. God is on your side. And when we say God is on your side, that means that you are destined to prosper if you will do what God said to do. Do not align yourself with the scornful. Let's talk now about what to do if you want to prosper. And I want to prosper. You say, well, you're already prospering. Not near enough. Not near enough. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. When you get a hold of the Word of God, it will develop in you not an ungodly, but a godly greed, where you just can't get enough. Just can't get enough. You taste and see. Praise God, there's honey in that rock. You taste and see the Lord is sweet. You desire more of the presence of God, more revelation of the Word of God. And so he said, if you want to prosper, he said, this is what you do. Delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law meditate day and night. David, the psalmist, talked in one place, not here, but one place, David said, in his presence of fullness joy. But here he is instructing us that if we are going to prosper to the degree that God wants us to, that we are going to take our pleasure in the Word of God. He said, to the extent that we meditate. Now, that's a wonderful word when you look at the Hebrew and find what it means. It's haggah. It means a primitive root. It means to murmur. You know, we think everything's bad. We preach against murmuring all the time. Pastor was talking about it, and I wrote a bunch of notes and got some good stuff about it, and then I found this. To murmur. To murmur is just not quite noising it abroad. You're just kind of under your breath. Have to stand close to hear you. Friend, there should be such a love with the Word of God that you become a murmurer of the Word of God. That you're just quoting it to yourself. You're just speaking it. You're not preaching it out for somebody across the neighborhood or on the back pew. You're just quoting the Word of God because you know that Word of God is going to produce something in your life. So you just begin to murmur the Word of God under your breath. It's just something that's there all the time. That's what's in the Hebrew, to murmur. It means by implication to ponder. It means to think on. It means to dwell on. It means to imagine. It means to meditate. It means to mutter. It means to roar. It means to speak. It means to study. It means to talk. It means to shout. All of that is that one little word, meditate. Praise God. I promise you, folks, some of you have not yet come there, but I promise you that you can get the Word of God so strong in you that it will defeat every enemy. Sickness is an enemy. Disease is an enemy. Hatred is an enemy. Poverty is an enemy. You say, oh, I don't think that's going to make a difference in my billfold. That's the reason why you're not prospering. You've got to understand the will of God. Remember, this was a revelation to me 100 years ago. The Word became flesh. It's just a great thing. Jesus is the Word in the flesh. He could not be defeated. Why? Because he was the Word. That's the reason why they put him in a grave and he couldn't stay. The Word cannot stay in the grave. The Word cannot stay dead. The Word has to come back. And so Jesus was the Word in the flesh. But here's the revelation God gave me. My objective is to make the Word get in my flesh. Jesus was the Word in the flesh. I need to make my Word my flesh filled with the Word of God. As long as I'm more flesh than I am Word, I'll prosper less than I fail. Let me say that again. As long as I'm more flesh than I am Word, I will fail more than I prosper. But if I become Word more than I'm flesh, I will prosper more than I fail. And so that's what the writer David is saying. He said, meditate, roar, murmur, talk, shout, think, dwell, ponder on the Word of God. Nobody does that in Christian churches across America, and it's a little bitty handful of people in Living Way Church that do that compared to the thousands that come here. Just a few of you. If you read your Bible and study it every day, you are in a small minority of people. Not in the church world, in Living Way Church. If you've got a Bible that's not as clean as a hound's tooth, you're an exception. Because people that study the Word of God write in their Bible. They underline things. They circle things. They got red markings, pink markings, yellow markings. It's dog-eared. Oh, look at my Bible. My grandmother gave this to me 20 years ago, and it looks like it's brand new. Shame on you. It ought to be dog-eared and ragged because you meditate on it. You can't get enough. You feed on it. You get the Word of God inside of you. He sent His Word so that they could be sick and appreciate the fact that they were dying in Christ. He sent His Word to heal them. Do you understand the power of the Word of God? David said, meditate on it, murmur it, till it's just natural, just natural. Very few people ever respond with the Word of God. We respond with something from television or something from social media, and the most carnal of us respond with curses. But praise God, if the Word of God was bubbling outside of your mouth without even a conscious effort, you'd be sick no more. you would be broke no more. Friend, I'm telling you that prosperity is found in the Word of God. You need to become the Word walking on this earth in your flesh. You will become an oddball. You will become an abnormality. But most people are living from check to check. Most people are sick. Most people are depressed. I'm telling you, you can become an exception to the rule. You can have divine health. You can have abundance overflowing, praise God. You can have joy unspeakable, but it comes from the Word of God. That is the source that all that God has for us to do in Jesus' name. And that's what God wants you to do. Get in the Word of God. Meditate. David said, in his presence is fullness of joy, but your pleasure should be in meditating in the Word of God. And he said, meditate day and night. There is a distinction there. When you study the Hebrew, day means normal times. When you are just going about your business, washing clothes, washing dishes, mowing the lawn, working on your job, answering the phone, whatever you do, you can still be meditating on the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I took my Bible to work and laid it on my desk. That Bible didn't help you no more there than it did laying on your coffee table. Where you lay your Bible is not the source. He said, I hide the Word of God in my heart. He said, meditate day. That day means in your normal activities. It doesn't mean when you got bad news. People that only pray when they get broadsided by tragedy are not very successful. People that only study the Word of God when you, oh, I got to have me an answer. I read the Bible every day, and I don't need that big answer every day. I'm just meditating on that day and night, praise God, because I want to overcome every weapon that's come against me, every sickness, every disease, every discouragement, every murmur, every attacker, every enemy, every problem, every circumstance, praise God. I have to understand by faith the world was created by the Word of God, and if the Word of God can do that, praise God, it can create me a new world every day. Not only is my mercy fresh every morning, but God can create me a brand new world every day, and he can eliminate every negative thing that comes against me that day, where I can start in a brand new world tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then he said meditate day and night. And when you look at the night, it means in your times of adversity. In your times of adversity, there's so many people. Somebody was telling me yesterday about somebody, and their child died. This woman was a church secretary in another city, another state. Their child died at 30 years old from a drug overdose, and she'd battled drugs for 20 years, I guess. And this wonderful, godly woman said to her pastor, when I get to heaven, I've got a lot of questions for God. You know, I had a friend tell me that one time. He pastored his church. He said, when I get to heaven, he said, I've got some questions. He said, I want to ask God how come the beer companies had all the money, and he said they could advertise all the time in the Super Bowl, and I didn't have enough money to do that. I said, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to ask St. Peter is, where is that guy? And I'm going to get on the other side. Because if you're going up there to argue with God, I want to stay away from you. Folks, I have come to a place in my life that I, as Becky said so wonderfully, I trust the Lord. I don't have to understand this anymore. I just trust in the Lord. I know that I have limited ability, limited understanding, limited knowledge, that I am finite in everything I do, and he's infinite in everything that he does. I just trust the Lord and say, I know it's going to be all right. I'm getting to that Job thing where, though he slay me, yet I trust him. It doesn't matter if God slays you because he's the resurrection. It's simply the only reason why God would slay you is to make a new you better than the one he just slayed. Because he is the resurrection. You got to get to the place where you just trust God. Say, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. My God is on his throne. But listen, let me tell you the rest of this story. This is a precious lady. And I'm really not much of a critic of people that have. I had a man said some terrible things about me, and somebody told me. a pastor, and this was years ago in another state, and he was critical because I wasn't in the same legalistic camp he was. But anyway, they said that I said, look, his father committed suicide. His son is a homosexual. Do you think I'm going to respond to his criticism of me? I said, I simply don't carry the load he carries. Because my daddy didn't commit suicide. He wanted to live forever. And Brandon's got a wife, and Sean's looking for one. The point is, I'm not going to respond to that. And so this woman, out of her hurt, said, I've got some questions for God. She said that in a Sunday service, in the very first part of the service, to the pastor and to one of the ladies. I don't know how familiar you are with tongues and interpretations. That's where someone speaks in tongues and someone else in the audience gives an interpretation. And there's a man that had never given a message in tongues in his life, and a woman that had never given an interpretation. And they had no idea of the conversation that she just had with that pastor. But 45 minutes later in that service, the tongues came forth and the interpretation came forth and said, you have no questions for me. I have all answers. I can answer every question you would ask. I love you. I love your daughter. All is well. That woman just collapsed because she knew that God, even in her anger, had heard her talking out of her. And she said, God loves me that much. Even in his, I'm going to tell you, we got quite a God, folks. He's not a mad God. He's not a God that holds you accountable for every slip of your tongue and every stumble of your toe. He is a God that sent his only begotten Son to die for us. And so you might go through times of adversity, but that's when, praise God, you need to be meditating day and night on the Word of Almighty God. I trust the Lord in all things. I trust him with my health. I trust him with my wealth. I trust him with my family. I trust him with my... I just trust God. He's a good God all the time. And praise God, God is on my side. And God loves me so much that he wrote my name in the palm of his hand. Why wouldn't I want to read his letter? Why wouldn't I want to read God's? You just got to get a relationship with God where he is the lover of your soul. And praise God, you'll be like a woman that's in love with her soldier husband and he's not home, but every day she's pulling out the last letter he wrote her and said, I can't wait till Johnny comes marching home. And praise God, I can't wait till Jesus comes back to the throne. But in the meanwhile, I trust the Lord and I'm going to meditate day and night. And the Bible said that's one of the keys to prospering in all that you do. In all that you do. Praise God. But don't just read it, but perform the Word of God in your life and watch your life begin to prosper. Watch it begin to take root and change. Praise God. Something else that God wants us to do. God wants us to understand that he is forever working in our benefit. And we ought to have great expectations. You know, some people, how you doing? Oh, about as good as can be expected. That's not a good answer unless you've got great expectations. Great expectations. I've told you before, I love a telephone. I've been waiting for a call that's going to be the most phenomenal call the world's ever heard. It's going to change my life. I love the mail. I just love the fact that we can communicate because I've got great expectations. Oh, this is a great church. Great crowds come in here on Sunday. Our income is strong. Our location is fantastic. Our income is great. We thank God for all that. But you don't understand my expectations. Before I die, praise God, I'm going to see a harvest. I'm going to see an outpouring. I'm going to see my expectations are great. And so he said, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Number one, Number one, what does that mean? It means we shall be like a tree planted by. It means we will be in constant contact of the never-ending source. What that means is your job is a conduit, but it's not the source. It doesn't start at the end of that, at the beginning of that conduit. God's at the other end. And if that conduit dries up, God's got another one for you. You should have great expectation because you're like a tree planted by the water. What does that mean? It means when you stand there and you look out as far as the eye can see, the land is barren, it's brown, every tree is dead except the tree planted by the river because its roots have sneaked out of the soil and into that riverbed and it's drinking its need every day and so it is green. And that's what God is saying to us. He said, I want to prosper you in the land of deadness where you are a green tree of blessing. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. He said, keep in mind that I am your source. And you say, oh, gasoline is $3 a gallon. You just got to believe that your source is going to up your income. It's going to become a stronger revenue source because, praise God, God knows you got to get from place to place. So God's going to take care of you. God's taken care of me so many times. I've told you, I own a little oil well. I bought a place in Illinois, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. And I sold the place and made some money on it. But it had a little oil well on it. And I kept the oil well. And when I die, you want to watch Brandon and Sean, because they're just going to be fighting over who gets this. Because I've got it forever, for the rest of time. That's my oil well. When I die, it's my heir's oil well. It's not very much. It don't bring in very much. But I can put a pencil to it, folks, and it's almost always the same amount I spend on fuel. And it fluctuates. The price of oil goes up and down. When you see the gas pump go up, that means my little oil well goes up just a little bit. And so sometimes it's only $400 a month. But if gasoline gets real high, it'll be $1,200 a month. It doesn't make me any more money. But it'll pay for all the fuel I burn in my cars, and it'll pay for my truck and my tractor gas I had to buy. Oh, God took care of that one for me. I don't even have to worry about that anymore. God can do that in such a way. Oh, that in itself won't ever make me rich, but it's just one little more thing I don't have to worry about anymore. The only thing I got to pray for is you. When I go to the gas pump and it says $3.50, does not affect me one penny because that means my check is going to be up just that much. It just floats right with it. Friend, you can get to the place where God will prosper you. And no matter what's happening in the world, you'll be like a tree planted by the water. You will be green, green, green. Everything around you is dying. But praise God, you will be plugged into that never-ending source that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not prosper, shall not wither. What shall we produce? What shall we bring forth? Look what it says. His fruit, his season, his leaf. His fruit is your needs. It means God wants to prosper you and meet every need you have. The Bible says that. He will supply all your needs. That's his fruit. His season. What does that mean? Oh, that means that it doesn't matter what the seasons are because now it's your season. What does that mean? That means, you remember that guy, and I mentioned a while ago, that guy laying at that pool, waiting on what? A certain season, an angel would come and trouble the water, and one person would get healed. But you had to wait for that season. Everybody at that pool was captive and dependent upon that one season, except the one man that Jesus came to, and immediately it was his season. Do you know that God wants to do that for you? that the seasonal trends of the world will not affect you because it will always be your season. Remember when he cursed that fig tree for not having figs on it? And when you read the story carefully, it said it wasn't even the season for the fruit to be on the tree. And Jesus cursed it anyway because he was giving an illustration on faith. And what he was saying to the disciples, I don't want you to be like this fig tree. He said, I don't want you just to have fruit at a certain season. I want you to have fruit whenever you need it. And friend, no matter what's going on in this world, if you will begin to meditate day and night, if you'll get a relationship with God, it can be hell in a handbasket for both neighbors on either side of you. But praise God, your old household just a perking right along, not a problem. Why? The Lord is on my side. You need to learn what we mean when we sing these songs. The Lord is on my side. What does that mean? It means I am not affected by the seasons, praise God. I'm in a special dimension all of my own. I got my own season. It rains on the just and the unjust, but praise God, I'm a special character. You know what? I am predestined to prosper. I say it every day. I am predestined to prosper. And not only that, I believe every one of you that's here and saved and filled with God's Spirit, I believe you're predestined to prosper. You just got to get that old theology out of you that you got to suffer a lot to go to heaven and start getting up and say, Jesus suffered enough for both of us. I don't want to suffer no more, praise God. I want to be blessed in coming in and going out. I want to be the head and not the tail. I want to be the first and not the last. I want to be over and not under. I want to be above and not beneath. Praise God. I am predestined to prosper. If anybody's going to get a scholarship, it's my kid. If anybody's going to get a raise, it's my husband. If anybody's going to get a new car, it's going to be me. If anybody's going to have a beautiful baby, it's going to be my wife. Praise God. I am predestined to prosper. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a big shout. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it shall not wither. It shall not wither. That's what Jehovah said. Jehovah God said that. In Malachi 3:11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of her ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. That was Jehovah God saying that. But listen to what Jesus said. His only begotten Son in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen. You said, I'm so glad I decided to get saved. Friend, God knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You are something special. You're something special. God chose you. He brought you out of an improbable situation. He left your brother sitting on the bench. He left your neighbor sitting under the tree. He left your cousin back at the factory. But look at you. Been brought out. Been chosen by Almighty God. Said, explain that to me, Pastor. Again, I trust the Lord. I can't explain that one. I just know he said, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you. I've been chosen by God. Oh, and what did he choose to do? He chose to prosper me every day of my life. And so Jehovah said, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. It's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep. He said your fruit is going to remain. Some of you have made enough money to float a battleship, and you ain't got enough money to pay attention tonight. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I promise you, if you'll begin to get the concept that you are predestined to prosper, and you'll line up with God's word, he said, your money shall remain. Your fruit shall remain. Your health shall remain. Your family shall remain. Your relationship shall remain. Oh, friend, get religion out of your brain. We don't have too many heroin addicts here tonight. There's just three or four I see around. We don't have too many alcoholics here tonight, but we've still got some of us that have still got the adherence of opioids in our blood system. Man, I'm not sure God wants to do all that. I think if he saves you, that's enough. But it would be enough, but that ain't his plan. It don't matter what you think is enough. It's not what you think is enough. It's what he thinks is enough. Because he's God and you're not. He's the giver and you're not. He's the guy that opens the window and you're not. He's the God that blesses and you're not. And he said, I'm going to put more than you can contain. He said, I'm going to cause your fruit to remain. That's what Jesus said. I don't have time. I got to quit. But he said, everything you do is going to prosper. Praise God. If you plant roses, they're going to bloom. If you build a house, it's going to appreciate in value. If you get a job, you're going to be promoted. Praise God. If you start a business, it's going to succeed. If you have children, they're going to turn out to be good kids. They're going to have grandkids and make you happy. That's the will of God. You need to start confessing, I am predestined to prosper every day. You ought to say it seven times before you go out the door. I am predestined to prosper. 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 Yeah. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you what. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and there's no group of people that I love better than them. That was my mama and them, and my grandmama and them, my grandpappy, my cousins. I got my sister, she's got, I forgot how many kids and how many grandkids, and every one of them are in that Pentecost, and she's just so happy. And I don't agree with everything that they do, but they're not on drugs, and they're not on alcohol. And I just rejoice with her when she starts telling, oh, they're all in a Pentecostal church. I just rejoice. I don't take offense because they're not living. I just rejoice. And I know that you was raised in a Catholic church. Hey, we're not going to get up here and denounce the Catholic church. There's some great things in the Catholic church. There's some great things in the Pentecostal church. There's some great things in the Baptist church. But praise God. I ate at Luby's the other day. I said, Luby's is so good, I'll never go to Ruth Chris again. No, that's not what I said. I said, that was good today, but next week I'm going to Ruth Chris. Praise God. Praise God. Take what was good out of the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, the Assembly of God. Take what's good and don't throw off on your family and your relatives. Praise God. You don't want to do that. You don't want to talk ugly about your family. Rejoice that they're Christians. But don't let that limit you to saying, well, I really can't prosper because that's not what we've been taught. What does the Word of God say? He said, everything you do will prosper. Everything you will do will prosper. Praise God. I know your mother worked hard, held three jobs, and sent you to school, and you got a PhD. That doesn't mean you think your mother's ignorant. That doesn't mean you make you think your mother's stupid. You know that she did the best she could with what she had. And if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be where you were. If it weren't for the Pentecostal church, I wouldn't be where I am today. If it weren't for the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church, some of you wouldn't be where you. They pushed us along. And praise God, we found out, here's something I didn't know before. And we reached out and got it. Get up every morning and say, I'm predestined to prosper. I'm predestined to prosper. I'm going to have an overflow day. Is there anybody in this building right now will say, I'm blessed, but I'm not as blessed as I want to be. In Jesus' name. Just run down this aisle. I'm not going to wait a long time. And I'm just waiting on you right now for a moment. You say, praise God, I want to move up. I want to move up. I want to begin to prosper in that area where God said I could. I had never been told this. Nobody.